Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and we are so pleased and happy to have you join us this morning.
Welcome to church, everybody. My name is Donna Schuller, and this is part of what we do with the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls.
So in addition to being here every Sunday morning, we're also at the Community Center live. We don't use that for Facebook or for any of our platforms or on our Twitter page or anything. You have to come live. There's great people involved in this little community. It's at 100 Civic Center Drive, Newport Beach, California. We do that at 10 o'clock. And then every Thursday night, we have a live television program, which we do on the Word Network at 7:30 Eastern Time.
And that's PM. You don't have to get up early.
Yeah, exactly. It's not in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's not in the middle of the night, exactly. And we do that live. So just like this, often we'll be in this studio. This is our studio, which is where we actually live as well. And so we're in various places. I know this past week we were in Mexico. And so we broadcast live from there, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, that's what we do. Oh, and then on the 15th of every month, we have another program.
Podcast. It's our podcast.
And it's a podcast. Mm-hmm. And we do that on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Or if you want to stay with the Eastern time, 9 p.m.
Well, here's the thing. That's a lot to absorb.
Yeah.
Right? But what Robert's just trying to tell you, we are on here a lot. And we use something called Restream. So we push this out to about 7 different platforms, which most importantly includes drschuller.org. That's our website. We would prefer that you'd watch it there or on YouTube or on Twitter. So if you don't have Twitter, you know, here's the thing. I know we attract and we talk to a lot of older people. We're older. That's why. But older people use the FB word. I'm not even going to promote them anymore. FB is the most popular social media platform for older people. I was recently telling a friend of mine, just go get Twitter. I don't even have Twitter. Actually, it was my mom.
Oh.
And so I said, well, it's easy. You pick up your phone. You go to that little blue button that says App Store. You click on it. Twitter. Tweeting out information is so much easier and more simple than any other platform. I'm telling you the truth. It's simple. It's easy. You can say two or three words. In fact, they limit you to how many words you can say in a tweet, but it's easy to do. And this is why I want to promote them, because they're allowing freedom of speech. We are being censored. I'm not going to mention the name of the platform I posted about it.
But the initials are FB.
The initials are FB. Please don't support them. Please. They are just not good. They have their agenda. And if they're robots and real people now, I heard, are going through there. If you say something they don't like, especially if it has to do with God and Jesus, and you talk about what the Bible says about some of the craziness that's going on.
I was
going to
add medical tyranny.
Yeah. So just know that we are not going to probably be on FB very much longer. We got threatened that they're taking us down within 24 hours. We're still there as far as I know, but we did get that threat. I wrote to them and said why. And, you know, they're computers. I don't know. They didn't get back to me yet, but hopefully I resolved that issue for now. But we're going to continue to speak the truth. And anyway, I wanted to say that because you were talking about social media platforms, and I think we want to,
we want to push people over to our website at drschuller.org, and we want to encourage you to go there for your spiritual edification. I mean, edification is a fancy word for
education.
Personal growth. Mm-hmm. And so we've got just tons of stuff, and we've got links to our YouTube page there.
We have links to anything, really. You know, that's that's why I was saying earlier is that he was telling you all the things we do during the week. That's too much to absorb. I'm sure you're not sitting there taking notes. But what you want to do is just type in Robert Schuller Ministries into the search bar and your handheld, your laptop, your your desktop, and you'll see all the things we do, including podcasts and including our live time on TV network called thewordnetwork.org. You can watch that. You know, you can watch anything on your cell phone now, on your smartphone. So happy Mother's Day for those of you.
Mother's Day.
That aren't moms. That's okay. You had a mom. Either have a mom or you had a mom. And I know I saw something from a friend of mine this morning. He's very sad. I forget how long his mom's been gone, but he posted a picture of her and he said, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'll always miss you." And anyway, I know some of you are sad because maybe it's your first Mother's Day without your mom. And that's sad. My mom's still very much alive. I get to spend today with her at 10 a.m. at our in-person service at the Newport Beach Civic Center in the community room. And I'm having her over for a hamburger. Our kids are all out of town. So this is my first Mother's Day ever since I've been a mom that I won't have kids around me, children.
After the day's over. Yeah. We'll be there like 1 a.m.
We're flying to see our son, his wife, and our newest grandbaby in Utah.
Who haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Piper Schuler yet.
We meet her tomorrow. So, yeah. But nope. Nobody's going to be around. And you know what? There's nothing like daughters that do it up for you, because this is my daughter's 37. My son's almost 36. My very first time in my life, I haven't been around a child. So
cry.
I'm not going to cry.
Okay.
You might cry.
I am crying.
Because I'll be in a bad mood. Because there's nobody to do anything for me. I was up making waffles for this guy, some protein waffles in the toaster oven while I was upstairs getting rest, and two of them got stuck and started a fire.
Are you cooking something, Donna?
No, I'm not cooking anything. That's me. I'm a little ADD. So we came down and had to open windows, and oh my gosh. I'm glad the fire alarm didn't go off. It would have been going off still.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to church, and
why don't you go ahead and read our scripture, and then I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, our scripture reading is from Psalm 66, and hear these words from the psalmist. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you ask us to call out your name, to ask you for things. Thank you that when we have faith and determination to do this, that you always answer us, Lord, always. Thank you that you brought the people out of the wilderness all those centuries ago. And yet, you still bring us out of our wilderness, even today, Lord. Some of us may feel like we're lost and we're struggling and we're looking, we're searching. But through you, God, if we make that decision to follow you, your promises are real. What you tell us and what we can read in the Bible is real, Lord. You're there to help us. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I have my Fearless pin on today.
It's on the other side.
Oh, yeah. You can't see it very well because this is a light lavender shirt, but this is very sparkly. I have it on in honor of my book that came out last Monday, so it hasn't been out a week. And this is actually a Fearless brooch. It's a pin. Pins on here that we've been offering through the ministry for, I think, about a year now. So if you'd like one of these, you just write to us with a suggested donation of $20, and it's robertschulerministries@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest. Make sure if you write to us or if you give a donation, which we'll talk about as well, that you have to let us know it's for the Fearless brooch, because we won't know otherwise. We don't have secretaries or assistants that help with all this. We do that. And if we, you know, we often get $20 donations from people. It's a popular amount to give. And if they don't say anything, then we don't know. So if you happen to be one of those that has been waiting for your brooch because you gave $20 a year ago, we just didn't know that was what it was for. So let us know. But we have these available, and I personally will address it and put it in the mail to you as soon as I know.
Well, sometimes I put them in the mail.
Oh, you put them in the mail. Well, I address them always. My writing's better than his.
Yeah.
But that's all I want to say about my Fearless brooch, and it looks really good on black.
So we've been waiting to actually show the real book. There it is. That's the cover.
Yeah. Can they see?
Yeah.
Kind of bright. It's kind of hot.
Well, we can do it this way too. How about
that's
this?
My book. See, it's actually a real book. It's,
that's
oh,
what it
there
looks
we
like.
Go. It's 223 pages on the paperback, and you can get it on
Amazon,
but it's on Kindle as of today. I released it for Mother's Day week. And Mother's Day, the Kindle digital version.
So if you haven't gotten anything for your mother yet,
yeah, you can
get the Kindle version. Say, I just, you know, planned ahead and got this for your Kindle.
It doesn't matter if they planned ahead or not. They can get it today.
And it takes about 2 days for the book to come, and they'll ship it right to your mother. And you can call and say, I ordered this book.
But the digital one comes immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Immediately. Like, literally, yes. You click on it, and then you say, where do you want to send this? However, I like paper.
Yeah,
I really
we read all paper.
But
books.
This has been beautifully formatted. Oh, we can't really see it. It's so bright. There we go.
There you go.
No? Anyway, I don't know what it is, this lighting. But it's, yeah, I keep switching, too, because of the camera. But it's a wonderful book, 40 chapters, and it's got it starts out with a scripture verse that's applicable to whatever the subject is in one of the 40 chapters. The end has a place where you ponder and pray about what was written. And this guy sitting next to me wrote the preface. And anyway, the foreword, not the preface, the foreword. He wrote the foreword.
Robert, you can't see it. Okay. That's okay.
But anyway, that's my book. That's my, not me on the front. I've had people ask that. That is my niece, my brother's middle child.
You're talking about right there.
Right there. And she is facing her mountains. This is a real photo. This is not Photoshop. This was in New Zealand.
So let's show the picture again.
Yeah. So there you go.
There it is.
There it is. So go
and
on Amazon.
There's the niece.
It's Fearless Women. Yeah. By Donna Schuler. It's Fearless Women, Transform Your Negative Emotions into Positive Reality. So that tells you really what the book's about. It's how to take anything, bad friendships, bad relationships of any kind, illness. How do you take, what do you do about your mindset? It's so important, you know, with obviously with Jesus as your helper, with him as your supernatural coach, you can change anything around. And it's all about changing your thinking and transforming your negative thoughts, that negative committee in your head, changing that around to where you make something beautiful out of it and you live positively. And it's, you know, it works. So there's all kinds of different chapters and anecdotes. It's anecdotal, and it's, some of it's kind of funny. And anyway, it's a lot about me, wordy stories.
So it's an outstanding book. You're going to enjoy it very much. So this is our time where we collect our offering. And we want to encourage you to go to our website at drschuler.org and click on the button that says, I'd like to give, and become a recurring donor, even if it's $5 a week or a couple dollars a week even. I would encourage you to think about in 2023, $23 a week. It's up to you and God. What God has asked us to do is bring our thank offerings to Him. So this is a way for us to tangibly say thank you to God for all that He has done for us. And so you can give that way. You can also write to us at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. That's 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And if you didn't get that, you can go to our website, or you can rewind the platform you're watching at and get it.
Later.
And,
yeah.
But it's at the bottom of our front page on our website at drschuler.org. And you can find out where to send your donations. And finally, we have Venmo, and that's Robert Schuler Ministries. So those are the various ways we collect an offering in this church. And we're just glad you've chosen to be with us and to support this ministry. We really can't do it without you and without your support. So we want to thank you in advance. And thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So you ready for your message?
Yes.
I'll go in there and fix the burnt waffles. I threw the burnt ones out. Yeah.
Oh, that's
They're
a good
great
idea.
Waffles. They're pure protein, which this guy needs before he goes and preaches. And
need some brain food.
You need some brain food, and maybe make some eggs on the side and take the dog for a walk. So happy Mother's Day to all your moms.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
If you don't have a mom, or if you didn't have a great relationship with your mom, I'm sorry. But guess what? You wouldn't be here. None of us would be here without our mothers.
That's right.
So honor your mother today. And I can tell you, from personal experience of what I'm going through right now, you know, when we're young and we have babies and little children in the house, they brought me, you know, breakfast on a tray. My husband would help them. And now when we're all old and lonely, we get
no breakfast in bed.
No, nothing. No, it's like, get up, get to work.
Hey, time to go. We got to get this going.
Anyway, okay. You have a wonderful day, everybody. Bye.
So I've been going through the book of Exodus, and that's one of the reasons Donna read that specific psalm, because this specific psalm talks about Moses going and striking the water and parting the Red Sea. And just so happens that we're going to be talking about that today. If you want to read the passage, it's a little bit long. It's the last part of chapter 13 and all of chapter 14. And it's Moses parting the Red Sea and saving the Israelites. So what's interesting to realize is how many people went into the wilderness. It's absolutely amazing how many Israelites there were that left Egypt and went into the desert. We're talking straight, pure, unadulterated desert. To give you an idea, there was approximately 3 to 3.5 million people was the best guesstimate that we can have. We know the Bible tells us there's 600,000 men, but most of those are going to be married with children. So you can do the math, and it's probably a conservative number to say 3.5 million people. So based upon that, what do you think it would take to support 3.5 million people? Now, some of you might think 3.5 million people looks somewhat like this. Let me hide that. Let me put this one up. Some of you may think that 3.5 million people would look like that. That is what's currently heading towards the U.S. And that is a lot of people. It's thousands of people that are coming through South America, through Mexico, on their way to the United States. Thousands of people. What Moses dealt with was millions of people. You see a picture like that, and you say, okay, if that's thousands, what does millions look like? Well, let me read to you a passage or a document that was written by Dr. Danny Kellum, who is the headmaster of Donaldson Christian Academy. Here's what he wrote about how to understand the magnitude of 3 million people and the logistics involved with just feeding 3 million people. Here it is. And if you say, well, that the 3 million is exaggerated, then do your own math and realize how much is still required. Even under the most conservative numbers of all, it is a miraculous event that the people of Israel were able to survive more than 3 or 4 days in the wilderness and yet survived in the wilderness for 40 years. So hear this. One of the biggest mathematical miracles in the Bible is Moses and the people were in the desert, but what was going to, let me see, go to the next paragraph. According to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have to have 1,500 tons of food each day. Do you know that to bring that much food each day requires 2 freight trains a mile long that would be required to bring that much food? 2 freight trains a mile long. Besides, you must remember they were out in the desert and they would have to have firewood to use in cooking the wood. This would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains each a mile long just for one day. We're talking every single day. And if that's not enough, they need water. If they only had enough water to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day and a freight train with tank cars 1,800 miles long just to bring water. And then another thing, they had to get across the Red Sea at night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long. They went 2 by 2, 800 miles long. In order to cross in one night, which is what is recorded in the Bible, they crossed in one night. It means that when Moses parted the Red Sea, it wasn't a little part. It was 3 miles wide. So you had 5,000 people crossing the Red Sea all at the same time. And that's what it took to be able to cross the Red Sea. And then there's another problem. Each time they encamped at the end of the day, a campground 2/3 of the size of the state of Rhode Island was required, or a total of 750 square miles for their campsite. When I read the Bible and I look at everything that takes place, for me, one of the biggest miracles that I read, more than, say, walking on the water, more than Jesus ascended into heaven, the biggest miracle of all from a physical standpoint is Moses' journey in the wilderness. So Moses left Egypt. They left in a hurry. And these numbers don't include all the livestock that they took with them. They had their camels, they had donkeys, they had cattle, they had sheep, they had goats, and all of that went along with them. Probably some geese and maybe a few chickens. But they took all those with them into the wilderness, and all of them had to be fed as well. Are you getting the gist of how miraculous this is? So Moses hadn't left very long, and he's wandering through the wilderness. He's kind of zigzagging back and forth. And Pharaoh realizes that he is pressed between the desert and the Red Sea, and that he doesn't know what to do. And with that, Pharaoh decides he's going to go get his slaves back. He doesn't like the idea of not having all these slaves at his disposal, along with all the other Egyptians. And all of Egypt's going, yeah, they took all of our gold, the silver, they took our livestock, they left us without our servants to take care of us. What are we going to do now, Pharaoh? And Pharaoh decides he's going to send his army, his best army, his best charioteers, and he's going to send them to collect the Israelites and probably kill the men that are going to cause possible problems and bring the children and the women back. And that's the goal. The Israelites hear about this. And clearly, they are concerned because they are pinned between the Red Sea and the desert. And there's no place to run. They have the sea before them, and behind them, Pharaoh is coming. And I want to read to you a few verses that I want you to remember. Again, this is in this account takes place in the latter half of 13 and then chapter 14 of Exodus. And in chapter 14, verse 4, it says this: Pharaoh and all his army and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, says God. And when you're facing insurmountable odds, not only the odds of survival, putting a roof over your head, of putting food on the table, facing an enemy coming from behind. What we need to remember in these times is that the Lord wants you to know and wants everybody else to know that he is the Lord. He is prepared to do miracles in your life, and miracles will happen. They happen, and I've seen them happen over and over again in my own life. There have been circumstances that have taken place where suddenly one of our main donors no longer is able to give. One passed away, and it was tragic. And we're going, oh, we're going to have to make some major cuts. And the same month, another donor came in with nearly the exact amount. God has your back. That's what you need to know. God has your back, and he has your back because he wants you, and he wants the world to know that he is alive. He wants Pharaoh to know that he is alive. He does not like the woke mentality that God is dead, that everything is science, that there is nothing supernatural. God is supernatural. He continuously makes supernatural events real and take place in the lives of people who trust in him. So our quest is not to be in the safest, most secure place in the world. Our quest isn't to be safe. Our quest is to follow God no matter where he leads. And that's what the Israelites were doing. That's why they're just wandering around the wilderness. They were following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Pharaoh heard they were just wandering around. But the fact is, God knew exactly what he was doing. He was letting Pharaoh know, first and foremost, above everything else, even after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh still didn't trust God. He still came after God's people. And God says, I'm going to remind Pharaoh who he's dealing with. And he's never, ever going to come after you guys again. His army will be completely defeated. If you're facing an insurmountable foe, it is time for you to hear these words, that God will fight your battles. He will. He will fight your battles. And that doesn't mean you don't have a role to play. You do have a role to play. And that's where we come to our second verse I want you to hear. And the second verse is 14:14, Exodus 14, verse 14. And it says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And when I hear be still, I immediately think of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. If we go back, and what is the first thing God wanted to do with Pharaoh? He wanted him to know that he is the Lord, Yahweh. It's all capital letters, Yahweh. He is the Lord, which is a way of shouting, just like it is today. If you're texting and you use all capital letters, you're shouting. It's the same way then. He is the Lord. And God wants everyone to know he is the Lord. And so God says specifically, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Be still and know that I am God. But when he says be still, he doesn't necessarily mean do nothing. Be still is a matter of our heart and our minds being and having using our faith and our confidence to rest in the assurance of God's protective care. So when we meet somebody and our kids are going off to go someplace, we don't have to say, be safe. That's not the greeting and the farewell we want to give our children or anyone. It drives me nuts. I don't hear it so much anymore. But for years, from 2020 to just recently, and even once in a while, I still hear the final greeting was, be safe, be safe. And that is not what God's talking about. That's not what it is. It's be still. In other words, be calm, be relaxed, be in control. A relaxed mind is a mind that has the ability to think thoughts that are going to be more productive, and your actions are going to be wiser, and you're going to have a much better life if you still your heart, your emotions, and your mind. How do you do that? Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's why the very first thing we read in Exodus 14:4 says Pharaoh and all his army and Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, says God. So know that God is the Lord. Be still and realize that the Lord will fight for you. And then finally in 14:15, the very next verse, it says, why are you crying out to me, says God? You know, you hear so many people say, come to God in prayer and cry out to the Lord and ask him to help you. And there gets to a point where God says, don't cry out to me anymore. I've heard your cries. Now it's time to go. And that's what he says specifically in Exodus 14:15. Why are you crying out to me? It's a rhetorical question. It's not a legitimate question. He's not asking them, why are you crying out? He knows why. It's a rhetorical question. The rhetorical question really means quit crying out and do something already. And so he says, quit crying out to me. Tell the Israelites to move. This is what God tells Moses. Why are you crying out to me? Go and move. And when you get to the Red Sea, strike it with your staff and it will part and you'll cross on dry land. So there's lots of interesting, let me show you a map of Israel and Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea. So if you'll see on the top, you have Lower Egypt. And you would think if it was north, it would be Upper Egypt. But the Nile River is one of the very few rivers in the entire world that runs south to north. And that's the way the Nile River is. It runs from south to north. And so Lower Egypt is where the river splits into lots of different places and becomes very fertile. And that is where Egypt had all of its vegetation and tremendous wealth. If you notice that green triangle, in effect, comes to a point at the south end, that is where the Israelites were when they started moving. And there's a little lake. I wish there was a pointer. I have a pointer and I thought it would work, but I don't think it does. If the pointer works, maybe it does. There's a little lake here. There's many, many scholars and philosophers believe that that is where the crossing of the Red Sea took place. Others believe that it was over on another Sea of Aqaba on the other side of Saudi Arabia. Most scholars believe that Mount Sinai is at the point of the Sinai. Others believe it's on the other side. But that gives you an idea of what's going on. And it tells us that the Israelites avoided all of the main trade routes and they kept out in the wilderness in order to not confront anybody else or any warriors and not give the Egyptians an opportunity to race down on them. So We know already from our logistics that when Moses struck the Red Sea, it parted 3 miles wide, maybe wider, wide enough so that 3 million people could cross in one night. And they all crossed on dry land. I know how important that is. I was out duck hunting one day. This was back in the 70s, the early 70s. And I came to this little stream as I was walking through this area. I had waders up to my chest because I knew I was walking through bogs and the like. And I came to this stream. I was in Michigan. And the stream looked like it was about 4 or 5 feet wide. And I started to walk into it. And every time I took a step, I would sink. And I took another step and I'd sink further. And pretty soon I wasn't halfway across. And the water was above my hips. And I took another step and it went even higher. And I thought to myself, is this the end? I was stuck. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I thought I was going to literally drown. Why? Because of the soil, there was nothing dry. There was nothing to hold my feet. And what I ended up doing is taking my rifle, my shotgun, and throwing it to the bank, which is about 4 feet away from me at this point, on the other side of the bank. And then I laid back and I put my face up to the sky and, in effect, swam out of this situation. It was one of the scariest things that ever happened in my life. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to drown. I thought I was in quicksand. And every time I took a step and every time I moved, I just went deeper. I had to know who my Lord is. I had to be still. And then I had to allow my feet to float up as opposed to try and push out. And through it, I succeeded and I crossed over. But can you imagine if there was many people trying to cross a sea like that, where it isn't dry and they have all of their things, they have their cattle and their oxen, they have their carts, they have belongings. We're talking people who just moved out in this blink of an eye from their captors. And they're seeking freedom, they would have been bogged down and they would never have made it and they would have died. But God knew exactly what he was doing. It was on dry land. It was dry. And by dry, I guarantee it, or I can't guarantee, but I don't think it means like it was dusty. It was dry in that they had a firm foundation and they were able to move their carts. They were able to go across comfortably without any problems. And it's after they got across, it was then that the Israelites followed right the Egyptians in their entire army and their chariots followed them right in. And their carts did not find dry land. And their chariots got stuck and their wheels fell apart. And the Egyptian army looked to God and said, truly, you are the Lord. For we are not fighting against the Israelites. We are fighting against God. And God devoured the army that was chasing his people. Today, if you have an army chasing you, today, if you face battles that you think are insurmountable, today, if you're facing goals and quests for success, I guarantee, this I can guarantee, that the God who created the heavens and the earth, that the God who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, that the same God who did that is alive, hears your cry, and is telling you right now, Israelites, like the Israelites, it's time to move. It's time to have faith. It's time to cross the Red Sea. And you will find dry ground and you will be able to cross. God loves you. He created you just the way you are for a purpose and for a reason. And the purpose and the reason is first and foremost to know God. Second of all, to be still in his presence. And thirdly, to move, knowing that it's when it's time to go, it's time to start moving and trust in the God who created everything there is. I don't know what challenges you face. I don't know what you're doing in your life. I don't know what goals you have, but what I do know is that if they are beautiful, worthwhile goals, God will help you through. I've seen it over and over and over again in my own life, in the life of my children, in the life of my friends. There are testimonies a million miles long of people who have succeeded with God. You can too. If you feel you're not worthy of that today, come and offer a prayer of forgiveness right now. Say, repeat these words after me. Dear God, you know my heart, you know my mind. I am searching for you and your goodness in my life. So forgive me of my sins. Fill my spirit with your presence. Allow me to see the direction you're going. Be the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, that I will know where to go and that I will have the confidence and the assurance to follow you. You are my God, and I am your son or your daughter. I love you, God, and I praise your name always and forever. Amen. And God will perform a miracle in your life today. Keep your eyes open this today and this week as you move forward in faith. Keep your eyes open and recognize the hand of God. And every time you see his hand at work, give a little prayer, praise of thanksgiving to him, and let him know that you know that he is the Lord, that he is doing things in your life, that he is paving the way, he is making the ground dry so you can go through the Red Seas and you can find salvation. God is with you. He is with you right now. He will not let you down. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're our God. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you his peace. And you're lying down and you're rising up and you're laboring in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. If you're listening to me right now, go to Amazon and order a copy of Donna's book, Fearless Women by Donna Schuller. Go to our website at drschuller.org and support this ministry. And just know that God's going to help you through everything you're going through. God loves you and I do too. Bye-bye.